Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do?
Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Welcome to Judging Megan with your host, Megan Judge. A few things. This episode's going to be very heavy. So let me say that before we go into it. I'm going to try and start light. I always do. I'm going to warn you, I'm most 100% going to ugly cry. So I'll say that if you're watching on YouTube, I hate to plug it, that I'm going to be ugly crying. But my guest Kristen can tell you I already started crying and we didn't even record yet. So that's number one. Number two, so a few listeners have reached out and I, again, am always open to positive. I don't love the negative feedback, but I need it. I need the feedback because it helps me help you, which is my end goal. But a few people have been like, Megan, why are there so many commercials on the latest episodes? Well, listeners, I must tell you that I actually have to, believe it or not, make money off of my podcast. This is my one thing that I do now. I'm also writing a book. So for somebody that was diagnosed with attention deficit in seventh grade, it's pretty shocking to my younger self if you told me I'd write a book one day. But this is what I do for my living right now. And so I have to have advertisers. I really try to promote advertising that I believe in. So when you hear me, you know, talk about a product or I'm endorsing a product, I give the okay on that. But I'm sorry if there are ads in the podcast. I try to do my best to break them up like every podcaster does. But your poor little friend Megan needs to get thrown some dollars to continue to do this because it is expensive. I have to pay my producer. I have to pay my editor and my social media person. So that's it. That's what I wanted to say to start. Again, it's okay to send me feedback. I love hearing from you. I especially like the good stuff, but I do appreciate the bad stuff too. It's part of what I do. Okay, so I got that out of the way. Next thing really quickly, Kristen, I'm going to tell you this too. It's very exciting for me. My nephew, Johnny Hodges, number 57, TCU. I am pretty much a stalker. Like, I'm a stalker to the TCU football team. I now follow TCU everything on TikTok. I'm in my 40s. I'm like an old lady stalking these, like, poor 20-something, like, football players. I'm like, go Max! And I, like, follow them all. And I'm so freaking proud of that TCU football team. I've never watched a football game fully in my entire life. And Kristen, I'm going to tell you right now, I have a TCU flag in front of my house, like a weird stalker aunt. I also like call my sister, who's Johnny's mom, like 24 hours a day. And I'm like, well, I want you to know that I was watching the Michigan game. And these are some plays I have not seen before. And I go into detail about these plays. And I'm like, do you think their coach knows that they're doing this? She's like, Megan, you are a complete moron. They know. Don't worry. So anyways, TCU is going to be in a bowl against Michigan on December 31st. And I wanted to go so bad, but I cannot go. And when I tell you that this is a team that worked their tail off and were like, you know, told the entire football season they're not good enough, they don't have a name, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is a perfect example of keep going, you can do it. And then they're ranked the top four teams. So now it's Alabama undefeated. I sound so annoying. Sorry. Alabama undefeated playing Ohio State. Yes. And then TCU and Michigan. And I just have to tell you, I am like praying to baby Jesus every single night. I want all of my listeners to put in special prayers for Johnny Hodges, number 57, and Max Duggan, the quarterback, to win the Heisman Trophy. That's it. Dropping the mic.
We've all been put here for a reason, and we all deserve acceptance.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
I'm a trauma survivor from a really young age, and I have been diagnosed with complex PTSD in the past few years. I've been surrounded by death and abuse much of my life. I've been dragged through the mud and have been to the point of not wanting to go on anymore. Through my interviews with other survivors, I've learned that there is a way out. From recovering to surviving and thriving, we all have the strength to come out the other side.
You are listening to Judging Megan.
Kristen, thank you for coming on my podcast today. I really appreciate it. Kristen is already, I can tell from talking to her for 5 minutes of my life, my people. Her story is one, she applied to be on my podcast, I think, or reached out on me on social media. And I was like, I needed to tell her story. I needed to have my audience listen to this story. Kristen is a badass. I'll say that. She's also a stand-up comedian, which I'm so impressed by. And I love that Kristen kind of incorporates humor out of darkness, which is what I kind of try to do in my life. And it's so important. Humor has saved my life. I think it's saved Kristen's too. So welcome, Kristen. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
I can't even begin to say how incredible it is that you're having me here today. Your podcast, and I have to plug our girls on the other side of the world, Good Morning Podcast.
I'm Sal and Em. They better listen to this, because those girls, they're my favorites. And their new book is coming out, P.S.
I can't wait for their new book. I can't even tell you how many times listening to your podcast, jumping to theirs, it's gotten me through the darkest days of my life, and which is current. So here we are.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kristen, for making me cry within the first 7 minutes of recording. I really appreciate it. You know, when I have guests on that either found me because they listen, or they listen at all because I found them, or however people find me or they apply, I am always just so honored. Like, don't do this. I'm always so honored that people listen in general. Like, I really, really mean that. And that's why I do what I do, because I love meeting people like you. And the whole goal of my life is to help people get out of pain and grief and loss and trauma and heal from this. So I know your story is really difficult because you're still in the process of grieving. And I think, like I talk about a lot, grieving is a lifelong process. So we're going to have, like, really, especially in the beginning stages, shock, all the things that people go through. But then all of a sudden, one day, you know, it's 10 years later and you're like, you know, watching a movie and snot bubbles are dripping out of your nose. And you're like, how did this happen? So let's talk about you. Let's tell a little bit about where you're from. And let's go into your story, because I know it's a difficult one.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm originally from New York. My family and I were all from the Bronx. And like the rest of all the Jewish families in the 80s, we moved to Florida. we grew up in South Florida near Miami. I started managing hotels. It took me down to the Florida Keys. I lived in Key West for a really long time, which was a very magical chapter in my life. And I turned 25. I was on the island for a long time and I said, I got to get off this rock. And last place I visited was North Carolina. So I just made a split decision. I said, I liked it. People were nice. I'm coming. And I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. A year later, I met my husband. And a month later, after meeting the man I was going to marry, my husband, my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer. And 9 months later, he passed. And my mom struggled with drug addiction for a very long time. And she succumbed to her addictions a month after my dad passed. So I just met this man months later. Both my parents passed weeks apart and weeks before my birthday. So that was the start of our relationship. And my husband, we got married October 21st. October 21st, 2019. And we really built an incredible foundation for ourselves in our partnership that was very much a safe and open space for us to be exactly who we wanted to be. We explored parts of ourselves that we didn't really get, but it made each other happy, made me happy, made him happy, and we supported our quirkiness. And we both contracted COVID January of this year. And he's had high blood pressure. He's a bit of a stubborn man. I'm just going to say what you're not supposed to. He was a stubborn man. And he didn't go to the doctor as much as he should. Yeah. And he was having episodes of where he couldn't breathe a lot. Sometimes he would faint. And he was an incredible man, but stubborn. So he contracted COVID. And February 7th. Of this year, he had a heart attack. We were at home and we just got home from a beautiful date, and he fell asleep before I did. I called him my old man. He was only 42. I'm only 35, but he was still my old man. And, you know, he always fell asleep first. And all of a sudden he sat up as if he was dreaming and his body was doing things as if he was in a dream. He's never done that before, but I thought he was dreaming, but it was a heart attack. And then he stopped breathing, and I had to call 911, and they told me to get him off the couch. He was a massive man. He was very built, incredibly built. And I was trying to give him compressions. Of course, I was doing it wrong, but I've spoken to widows who are also nurses, and they were in the same scenario with their husbands, and they've also done it wrong. It's just the scenario. And, they were working on him for an hour. He made it to the hospital. 36 hours later, it was time. The doctors and the staff at UNC Rex Hospital got me through that hole. I never left him. I never left his side. When we got there, they said, you know, he has COVID. You can't stay overnight. And I looked the doctor in the eye. I said, you might as well go call the cops now, because I'm not leaving until my husband dies or wakes up. I'm not leaving his side. And for 36 hours, I didn't leave that hospital. I stayed with him. He was never alone. And my husband was very big on pride and dignity, and he drove with honesty and integrity. And I was very in tune with the moment before it was time for us to make that decision. It's almost like logic came in, and I thought of him in that moment. I didn't think of myself. And as soon as the doctor said, we have to think about his dignity, I looked up at the doctor. I said, okay, let's go. It lasted less than 10 minutes. The decision making, it wasn't dramatic. I think that was my husband telling me. It was a word I don't hear often, and he used all the time. And as soon as the doctor said that, I just knew. So
you knew it was a sign.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first of all, sometimes I really am, I know this is shocking to you, left speechless, like wondering why, you know, I mean, there's so many times in my own life where I wonder, well, why did this happen? What, how come? Can I get frickin' break? Like, where are you, God? Are you spiritual? I'm just curious.
I'm a very spiritual person. So I was I lived, it's, what are we? We're in December. This happened in February. Uh-huh. I lived in the Y for the first, I would say, 4 months of my grief. And then it turned into, it's impossible to experience a connection with another soul the way I did. And just, it stopped. To me, that seemed, it sounded impossible. I'm like, no, that's not what's happening here. So I then turned why into, he's not here. How else can I communicate with him? And I opened my mind to things I wasn't open to before. And and that includes God in a different fashion, not in the way that everyone's probably thinking when I say that word. And spiritually, I've come so far with my grief, and I've done so many things, and I now can feel his energy. I'm starting to feel him around me, and I can tune in with my energy, and I can tune in with his, and I can have a conversation with him, not necessarily hearing him, but I know what he would say. I know what he would tell me. I know how he thinks. And so my whys became, okay, this is what it is, but it's not gone. It's somewhere. I just have to figure it out.
It's new. It's very fresh grief. I mean, and then on top of that, to just go through the trauma of being orphaned. I mean, by both parents, like to be an orphan and lose both your parents so close together. It makes me, I still to this day, sometimes I think, and I don't know if you're like this, sometimes when people go through a lot of loss, there's good things about it, like you can help other people. But sometimes I still go, well, I don't know what to say. I really don't. And I wish more people said that to other people. I don't know what to say. I'm here. I want to listen. I'm here to listen, but not, you know, and I'm not saying there's anybody has ill will or ill intention when they're talking to people when they've gone through loss. But sometimes people just don't know what to say. And sometimes I'm honestly left not knowing what to say, you know, believe it or not, because I'm such a freaking big mouth. But I will tell you,
you know, it's
go ahead.
I was about to say, I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's interesting that you say that, because a lot of friends and family I've communicated to, but I have them pushed away. I'm not in direct contact with friends and family right now. The people in my life right now, about 90% of them that I'm allowing near me, don't know my husband or didn't know my parents. And these are strangers that are saying the most incredible things to me that have no idea who they were. For example, someone said to me the other day, I told this woman that I met, this lovely couple, and she was about 30, give or take. And she said, I know you're not okay. And that my body relaxed. Mm-hmm. It was just everything. And this young girl that I met the other day, she's 19 years old. And I told her about my husband, and she said, I know he had to have been special to be married to someone like you. These are strangers.
But Kristen, don't you think that sometimes, like, I mean, I really believe this. And as I'm getting older and I realize, like, oh, I don't have, like, I'm definitely, if I'm lucky, I'll live to be 100. But a P.S., I don't want to live to be 100 because I don't want to be, like, pooping in my pants. But, and my mom says that to me all the time. She's like, Megan, if I'm ever pooping in my pants, please, like, don't. And I'm like, okay, we're all too vain in my family to be like that. But in all seriousness, I think that we tend to gravitate in grief towards people that almost don't know us too well. Does that sound weird? Or, you know, the gift of being able to listen to a podcast. I was telling somebody the other day, and I might have said this on the podcast already, so if I'm repeating a story, I'm sorry. When I lost my dad when I was 13, I was in a theater camp, and I was like one of the leads in this play that I was doing a theater camp at. And my dad's funeral happened to fall on the day of the performance. So I couldn't be in the performance. And this, she had to have been like 15 years old. This camp counselor, that I idolized. Like, I thought she was so cool because she was in high school and I was like probably, well, I was like 12 or 13. I was 13. She wrote me this letter. And to this day, all these years later, I have never forgotten the letter. I've never forgotten what she said, because she said something that I don't remember the exact words, but I just remember her saying, just like empathizing with the fact that like my father was gone and I was a kid and all this stuff. So I think it makes perfect sense that you gravitate towards, like, whether it be a podcast or whether it be like somebody on the street, or whether it, whoever it is, like, that is your way of grieving. And so if people are real family and real friends, then they'll understand that you need your space. And this is where you are right now. And people have to respect that. Another thing I was going to tell you from listening to this is so far is I love when people say that the people in their lives that they're so lucky to have, even if it's for the shortest amount of time, like, would you rather have not had that person? You know what I'm saying? Like, the gift of being given a soul that your husband sounds so freaking awesome, and I know he's with you. And I like to say a lot of times there's a poem about they're just in the room next door. We just can't see them, but they're just next door. They're in the room next door. And I like to think that way. And I had to say that to you because I really feel everything you're saying is real. And I really, really believe that he really is with you. And if you are tapped into that, they're still here. They're still here. They're sending us messages all the time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had to say that to you. I'm sorry for the long-winded response.
No, thank you for sharing that. They absolutely are. I mean, what were you saying? What you were saying earlier as far as us gravitating towards people who don't know us or the ones we've lost. Speaking as a widow, it's so hard to continue, besides the obvious reasons, as a widow to be able to continue, because when we do have moments of happiness, or we're laughing again, or we're out and we're having a good time, it stops us in our tracks. And we're like, no, we're not, this isn't, we're supposed to be really sad right now. We're supposed to be at home crying in bed right now. We're supposed to be really depressed. And if a widow has the courage and the strength to continue, we need an arena where we're not a widow.
Yeah.
That's what we
need. You don't want to be labeled that way. And also people need to understand, hey, like, I can't go right back to my regular life. It's going to be different. It's going to look different. I'm a different person. I've been affected by this for the rest of my life. I will never be the same Kristen that I was, right? And that can be so tremendously hard, you know, because it is like feeling robbed, and it is all the things that it is and will be. But people need to understand, even if they have the best of intentions, you need the space, and you need to learn how to become a brand new Kristen.
There's two parts to what you just said. It's hard for me, and although I'm not in direct contact with my family right now, I know it's hard for them.
Yeah.
And what ultimately it's all come down to is they're going to have to understand and accept that they're getting a new family member. Once I learn who that family member is and I have foundation underneath me again, they're going to have to learn who that, they're getting a new, it's like adopting a new family member. I'm never going to be the same person. And that's not by choice. This changes you. Mm-hmm. It's not a choice I make. Like, today I'm going to be a different Kristen. It's, this is who I am today. How am I going to get through today? It's that simple.
Yeah, it's I would say it's like, and I can't imagine like losing, you know, I mean, I can't imagine losing my husband. I mean, we've been together, we've grown up together, we've known each other since I was 26 and he was 27. And I do have the trauma that's always like tapping me on the shoulder. And I'm sure you do too, where it's like, what's next? What's going to happen next? And you're scared. I don't know if you're there, but I am. I try not to live in the space of like, will something happen to my kids? Will this, will that? And try to live it day by day. But because you're so freshly in the period of grieving, it's so important to that. I love that what you're saying, that you have to remind yourself. And if my listeners are listening, it's okay. Like, you can be selfish right now. And if anything, people need to understand, like, I deserve to be selfish right now. And let it rest and let it be. You know, I think a lot of times when people are going through grief, just like you, you're funny. You're a stand-up comedian. Sometimes you don't want to be funny, right, Kristen?
No, not even. Yeah. No. And you know, it's so important. I mean, what you're saying, I'm in the most selfish phase of my life. I've never been so selfish. And people that I've worked with, friends, family, you'll tell them how selfless I am. Mm-hmm. And my husband always said, like, you're so selfless. But right now, it's so important. It takes so much energy as a widow every day. And I know I lost my parents, you know that, but you know, the widow, it's fresh, you know. I call myself a black widow though.
Yeah. You know? You have to have a spin on it. All black,
you know? And you know, it's just every day you wake up and you have to first check in with your grief before you can start your day. I mean, I sent communications to my family recently, and one thing I said to them was, you know, it's like a lion lives inside of me. I can't eat until he eats. Once he eats, then I could feed myself, you know, and it takes a lot of energy to be in yourself. So when we say selfish, it sounds, there's a negative tone to it.
I shouldn't even have said selfish. Yeah, I shouldn't have said, because now I'm thinking about what you said. There should be a new word that created for it, because it's not selfish.
Selfful, maybe. Like, yeah. I was raised in Florida, so we're going to do some Florida analogies, but I, you know, imagine like losing your husband and in such an abrupt way. We were just getting started.
Yeah.
We were just getting started. And it's like, imagine surviving a Category 5 hurricane, and it was so horrific. It took the earth that was underneath the foundation that your house sat on. You can't even rebuild there. It's not possible. There's no more home. So I have to build a home inside myself, and it takes my full self to do that. I don't have space for anyone else's energy besides my own. It's just impossible.
And that's okay. And that's okay. So the word probably, the word should just be existing, like moving on, like rebuilding, like back off, I'm rebuilding, whatever it is. But at some point, the word will come to me, and I'll probably be driving my car later today, and I'll think that. Because that's how my brain works. But let me ask you, like, a little twist on it is, with all the political stuff with COVID, which I should never have been political to begin with. Like, I mean, people were insane during COVID, and, you know, the aftermath is it's just like all washed away. Was there ever a point where you were like angry because it was about COVID and how political COVID got? Or was it just like, it is what it is, and he already had pre-existing conditions? And I was curious about that and how you felt about that.
Yeah, I was in the space of angry about COVID for a little bit after. Not a long time at all. And the only reason that is because heart attacks run in my husband's family. And he was having episodes, and he was a stubborn man. I'm just going to say it. You know, I know he's gone. We passed. It's not all rainbows and butterflies. He was the sexiest human I've ever met in my entire life. He was, oh God, he was just mountain of a man. Everywhere we went, women, oh my gosh, they had no shame. They'll walk, I'll be right on his arm, and women will rock right up to him and be like, so what are you doing later? And I'm just like, at least buy him dinner so I can.
You're like, oh, I'm just his wife, no big deal.
Yeah, that's it. He was just this mountain of a man, and people were drawn to him. But I knew what I was marrying. He was a biker. We rode bikes, we rode motorcycles all up and down the Florida Keys. We lived on the bike, and I knew I was marrying a reckless animal on a Harley Davidson who was stubborn, but was the most incredible person I've ever met. I knew I wasn't going to have a long time with him, and I married him knowing that.
You knew that. You knew that already going in.
Yeah, but I didn't know it when it. I didn't know it was going to be this small amount of time. I thought I would have him until he was at least 60. I really did. I would even say things like, "Can you just wait until our daughter, my bonus daughter, is at least 18? Like, can you just stick around till she's 18?" Like, I just knew. He knew it too. He would say it all the time. And you know, when you lose someone, and real quick, I want to say this one thing that you mentioned earlier about, if I knew I would only have 5.5 years with him, I absolutely would have continued, because everything we gave each other, it's so hard to describe our partnership. We treated it like this baby, we nurtured it. We really created a beautiful environment for ourselves. We were friends before we were husband and wife. We really were. We just wanted the best for each other. And I knew he was going to pass young. And I accepted him for everything he was. And I didn't want to corner him. He was doing a lot of healing, a lot of internal work. He went to therapy for me because I started to go through that therapy. And I said, the way marriage is, I'm not an expert, but in my own personal experience, the way I see marriages breaking apart is when one partner is growing and the other one isn't. That's how they grow apart.
100%.
So if we're not, 100%. We don't have to grow the same way, but if we're not growing together, it's not going to work. And that really sunk in with him. And he was doing some beautiful inner work. And, you know, I knew how stubborn he was. I knew he was ill with his heart and he should have gone to the doctor more, but I just didn't want to put him in a cage. He was caged his whole life before he got to me. He couldn't be him. He didn't have a safe environment to be his true self until me. And it was the same vice versa. So I just didn't want to take that away from him.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do? Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Do you think sometimes what you just said is so interesting? That we know, because it sounds like you knew he wasn't meant for this world. Like, does that make sense? Like, you almost knew he was on borrowed time. I knew that about my best friend, Julie, who I talk about a lot. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew she was not of this world. I knew she was too good. And I think sometimes people think, oh, I'm like making her out to be the saint. If you knew Julie, she really honestly was. And I have a lot of people that can vouch for that. Do you think that?
I think he was meant for this world. I think his purpose in this world was to, he was sent to me and he was sent here to create his daughter who is, she's 11. What she lacks in age, she makes up. She's the most beautiful young woman I've ever met. And I fell in love with her as soon as I met her. And he didn't want to live that long. He wanted to live longer than he did. I know that. He wanted to stay longer. It wasn't his time. But he didn't want to be an old man. He wanted to ride motorcycles going 120 miles down the road. And he wanted to just live. And I know he was, I knew he wasn't going to be here a long time because of the way he lived. He was this wild animal, and it was so awesome to be around. It was like the coolest kid in high school, you know, just doing all this crazy stuff. And he just lived. He absolutely lived. And, you know, his passing is the most devastating thing that's ever happened in my life, but he lived and I got to help him live. I mean, what a gift. Yeah. You know, what a gift to receive.
It's incredible.
What a gift to give. Yeah.
So. How long were you together again?
We met in total July 29th, 2016. And a month later, he said, I love you, which I was very shocked. And then a month later, we moved in and we were together to the hip. And he proposed to me a year in, which I said no. I knew I was going to marry him, but I wasn't ready for marriage. I was like, I'm only 31. I'm a child still. You know, like it just felt like such a big thing to me. And then as we went on in our relationship, I knew I was ready to be married. So I said, how am I going to tell him that, like, you know, I want him to propose, I'm ready. So it was his 40th birthday, and I booked him a surprise trip to Vegas. And I knew once I told him, cause I can't keep secrets when it comes to surprise gifts, I always tell the person.
I'm like that, yeah, too. P.S.
Oh, I can't. Really, I'm like, I got you something that really cool. I just got to give it to you now. But
yeah,
I told him, we were standing in the kitchen. I was like, we're going to Vegas for your birthday. He goes, all right, did you pick out a wedding ring? Like, it was just not even a question. He knew. And we didn't tell anyone. We eloped. And it was the most perfect experience. It was just us. No one else was there. It was this whole beautiful, significant moment between two people that no one else knew about. And it was everything. It was the wedding we both wanted. And it was just so natural the way we put things together. We were like, let's just do it here. And let's do it in front of the fountains outside, middle of random strangers. And let's go. Like, there was no like, but I want this. And, you know, I've brought up, it was just so just us. And it was incredible. It really was.
It's like the most amazing love story. It kind of reminds me of and being a widow so young, like with so many dreams and hopes ahead of you. My mom was widowed at older than you, but yeah, still young, left with four kids to raise and had already lost a child. So, you know, you think about people sometimes and wonder, well, like, why? Like, with you, like, why did I lose my parents? And then here I am, but he was brought in to help heal my heart until to this day. And my mom remarried, like a complete nightmare. But anyway, she still talks about my dad, like, you know, like, I can't wait to be reunited.
Yeah.
And, you know, my parents were like the kind of parents, like, sounds like how you were, where they would like dance in the kitchen. They were, yeah, just so happy. Rarely fought. But I'm wondering what it's like to have the label of widow. What is that like for you?
It's getting easier to have.
Okay.
It's the besides the obvious, what's difficult about it is the way people look at you. So it's just like what you said, it's very unique for someone to be my age and to be a widow. And two months after he passed away, I went on an app where you meet up, and I found a widow group. So I've been a part of a widow group this whole year, and they're all 65 and older, and they're my closest friends.
Love
it. We just had our holiday party. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Some of my like dearest friends are like, I hate saying elderly, but older, and they're awesome. I did a spiritual retreat, yeah, and made amazing friends with women that are over 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they made it easier, but at my age, it's a really good question. It's you feel like no matter what you wear and no matter how you put yourself together, it's on your forehead. There's just no, even if you're having a light grief day, it's on your forehead, because it's not like I got divorced. It's not like things didn't work out, someone cheated. It's this person that is soul connected to me is now gone. It's just in a blink of an eye. So now you just, it's a kind of like wearing an armor, but not in a protective way. You know what I mean? It's just no matter what I put on, it's there. So I have to swim with it and not against it because it's who I am. And even if I remarry, I'm still going to be a widow. I just remarried, you know, it's so I've learned to put it on and to be comfortable, you know, it's kind of like putting on new clothes. They're kind of, all right, it's a new shirt. Got to like kind of, you know, make it fit right. I learned how to make things fit instead of take it off and not try to wear it, if that makes sense.
No, I love that you said that because it is being young like you are and just having, you know, I think it's people don't really understand it. I have had a man on that I adored and he wrote a book and he lost his wife pretty young and then he ended up getting remarried. But he's like, I've never forgotten like my true love, my first love. And then his new wife, you know, he met the person that can understand that they may always be kind of living in a shadow of that other person that will still always be there. And that's really important. Like if you ever decide that you are ready, do want to meet somebody again, you're still like in the very early process. But just coming from also like being a child, like that lost a parent really young, knowing my mom and being able to forgive my mom because she met somebody that was like pretty much the worst of all time, but she was just like had a bad picker and was probably just beside herself losing my dad. But just knowing that that person has to know that the new person always has to know that that soul is still there. So it's almost like when you are, there's always going to be that other piece of it. And my guest that came on and talked about that, I thought that was really remarkable that the person that he married is open to that. And it's really important, you know, if you ever decide to go that route. But I understand it's everything's so fresh, you know? So it's like taking it day by day, step by step. And just like living it with it right now, right?
Yeah. Everything is really fresh, but I've done so much work to get to the point where I can have a conversation like this less than a year.
Yeah.
I joined a widow group. I've been on healing trips. I have my grief counselor once a week. I've done so much. I've written a lot of comedy about this and joked about my dead husband on stage and it really splits a room.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the thing is what you're saying about partnership and you know, if and when I'm only 35, yeah. I do want to love again. I'm not ready to right now, but I absolutely do want to love again. The thing is when you experience a partnership that like I did with my husband, it was so healthy and magical and unique and wonderful. You want that again, even in the heart of losing the person that you thought you were going to have the rest of your life with. It's something that was so incredible. I know it's inside me. I can build it again. I can build it with someone else. And yeah, of course I want to love again. I have so much love inside me. I love loving. I love complimenting random strangers on the street just because I know what that feels like. You know, I just, this whole experience has humbled me to the point where I just drive with kindness and love because it's all I have now. That's all I have. All the love I can't give to him, I'm giving to myself and others doing this podcast. This is the love I would give to him. I'm giving it to whoever this is helping, wherever they are.
You are helping people. Kristen, you're a freaking badass. I need to tell you that. Because seriously, like, I know that there's so many people that there's all kinds of books and manuals and podcasts and whatever it is on the grieving process. But then there's also like the reality that everybody grieves in different ways, right? So when I'm not going to grieve the same way that you're going to grieve, and the girl next down the street's not going to grieve the same way that we do. But when I'm always admire people that are like, okay, and maybe it's because you've already gone through grief which helps because I know for me that by the time I lost Julie, I was like, well, I've been through this before. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it's all the steps that you're saying that you took and you're taking. But it's because you have already been through it in a lot of ways. So if there's somebody listening right now and they're still, you know, a month out or 3 months out or 6 months out and they can't get out of bed or they can't seem to like look in a mirror and get themselves ready to leave their house, that's okay too. You know, like everybody's grief is going to look different and nobody needs to rush it. It's okay. Right.
Yeah. I lived, you know, the person you're seeing right now and listening to, this is months in and a lot of work, but I lived exactly what you're saying. I lived there for the first 4 or 5 months, even 6 months. Recently, I just got out of that. And I still have those days where I get stuck in those. In that, where I can't get out of bed. Those days still happen frequently. It's just not every day. And the days that it happens, the days where it's just so consuming as a widow, you're like, you can't even look at the walls that you shared with him. You can't even look at the bed that you shared with him. None of it. I just start my routines. I remember what I've put in place. So I remember what makes me feel good as a woman. So as a woman, even when he was here, I enjoy washing my face. I enjoy putting on my lotion. So I would get up and I would say, just go brush your teeth. Just go brush your teeth and see how that feels. Just put on some clean underwear, damn it. Just put on some deodorant. Just see how that feels. Just do one step at a time. Like, for example, right now, I go to the gym and there's people at the gym who I've made friends with. And they ask me, like, I can't believe you come here every day. My mom's a widow. She still can't get out of bed. She's 3 years in. After correcting them, because you shouldn't compare grief, yeah. I say, I'm here crying half the time. I will cry in the middle of a grocery store. I will cry in the middle of a street. I don't care that it bothers you. That's not my problem. That's literally your problem. I swim with the grief waves. I swim with the grief, but that didn't happen overnight. I learned it's not going to last forever. It is a wave. And if you swim against it, you're going to drown in it. You just have to ride the waves. Some waves are 2 days, some waves are 3 hours, some waves are 10 minutes. But each wave that I was in, the way I got out of it is I just kept going with it and I allowed it. I gave it what it needed. It just needed to exist. It needed validation. And then I just did little things like just go eat an apple. Just go get a glass of water. Just put your shoes on. Like going to the gym is still hard for me every day, but I go. And those times when I don't want to go, I just can't go. And I say, just put on one sock. It starts with one sock. So I break it down. I'm like, you can do this. You see 20 steps. It's not possible. But if you see one step, what's the first step in front of you? Just take it.
I love that you're saying that, you know, I talk about Julie a lot because that out of all my losses, I say all the time. She was, I believe, women and men, like lovers, husbands, whatever it be, can be soulmates. But I also believe people come into your lives. And Julie was a soulmate of mine. She was my very best
friend.
Yeah,
I cried when you told the story about how you guys met. I was like, well, she was sent to you.
She was sent to me. And it sounds like very similar to your husband. Can you tell me his name, by the way?
His name is Michael Cushman, but nobody knows him by Mike. We all call him Cush.
Oh my God, I love that.
It's funny because it was, and all the men in his family are called Cush. So we'll go to like the barbecues and everyone's like, Cush. And you know which men they're talking to? It's the funniest thing. But even when we first started dating, I was like, what's your first name again? Because everyone called him Cush.
So. I love that. And that's such a perfect name. I love it because I can picture him. I can picture him. I think, I don't know. I just love hearing that. But yeah, like I remember like, and I think I've talked about this before in the podcast, but when it first happened, when she first was in the hospital in the coma I went to church and I was like, please, this can't happen. You cannot take her from me. Like you cannot, like kind of like, negotiating with God where there's really no such thing, You know, I mean, life is life. Bad things are going to happen. They happen every day to different people. We don't even know the stories of what people go through in life. That's part of why I do what I do, because I want to normalize the people go through things and talk about it. But I would talk to her like a complete psychopath, like driving my car. Like I would have a conversation with a person that I couldn't see in the car. And that was my way of dealing with it. You know, like, guess what? This is what I'm doing today. And even when I went through my worst time, that was even worse than losing Julie, where I went through that horrible friend breakup. And those women were so incredibly awful to me. And I remember not wanting to live and go on a few years ago. I would go on these long walks, and I talk about it a lot. And butterflies. I always talk to butterflies. They're my sign.
Yes. Yes.
So do you have a sign? I always ask this. I need to know if you have a sign that he's with you.
So I have multiple signs. Anytime I hear the Temptations, that's a sign from my father. My father, we grew up with music. My house was filled with music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. There was nothing but music all the time. But the 60s, that's like where my dad, he was born in the 50s. So every time I hear the Temptations, which is not frequent, you don't really hear them these days, I'm like, that's my dad. And then from my mom, butterflies all day. It's my mom is the butterflies 100%. And even my sister-in-law knew it. At my mom's funeral, my sister-in-law, she shared with me after the funeral, months after, she goes, I saw this butterfly and it was kind of hanging around us and I could feel it was your mom. And like, it's just multiple people and the butterflies and my mom. But my husband gives me the most direct signs. I yell at him. I'm like, why are you peacocking? Like, I ask him for signs and they slap me in the face. After he passed, I moved out of the house right away. I was just transient for a couple months. Then I found an apartment. So he's never been in this apartment. I've been in this apartment for 7 months. Through my grief, I like things to be in their place. It soothes me. So I've cleaned this apartment top to bottom, OCD a million times since I've been here. 2 months ago, I found one of his beard hairs sitting right on my sink in my bathroom, which is impossible. The brushes are new. I've wiped everything. All his stuff is in storage. It's impossible. And I went to a medium a week after, and I said to my grief counselor, I said, if the medium says something about that beard hair, then like he put that there. Like that was a sign, because I asked for a sign from him, and then I found that beard hair, and it was his beard hair is long, coarse. I know his beard hair. And I went to a medium 5 minutes in. She goes, did you find something of his on your bathroom sink recently?
No.
Yeah, 5 minutes in. 5 minutes in. And there's no way she would have known.
No, there's no way. That's how you know they're there. Yeah. Yeah.
Every time I pass a motorcycle, which you're like, oh, well, they're all over the road. I always see motorcycles when I'm doubting myself or when I feel like I can't continue. That's when I see them the most. And that's him. He put me on this road down the street from my house because I'm at my lowest point and I don't know how to move forward for the next 5 minutes. Then I see a motorcycle and that's him. We lived. That was our heaven. Nothing else mattered but that us and that bike. It was the most magical place for us. It was everything.
I love hearing that. God, I could seriously talk to you all day and But I want people listening to know, like, they're there. If you're going through this, they are freaking there. They are there. And pay attention to your dreams. And like, when I tell you the story, if you listen to a podcast I did, I don't know which one it was, but I was so sad. So sad. I didn't want to go on. Like the worst pain I've ever been in, even worse than losing Julie. And one day I'm walking up this big giant hill and this butterfly was following me the entire hill. And it's a big hill. And I just was like, that's how you know. Like, you know, you have to pay attention to the signs because they are there and they love us and they miss us. And yeah, we can't see them.
Yeah.
And that's the worst part about it is like when you want to tell them, like, guess what? This happened today. Or, you know, the milestones, you know, like that kind of stuff is hard and it always will be. But just what you're doing, Kristen, and sharing your story, you know, I know there's somebody out there that's listening and you're helping them. And that's what you need to do in this life is you have to take the trauma of what you've been through. Like the episode I have out right now, not to plug it, but this divorce coach, Jackie Miller, went through this horrific divorce. Her husband was just awful to her. And she turned her life around and she became a divorce coach. And now she helps countless other women. So your story and you getting up and you doing stand up, especially, like, you don't know, like, who's going to be in that audience that's going to be like, you changed my life. You don't know that you're going to be that counselor, that camp counselor to somebody someday. Like, I had my camp. Yeah. I wish I could find that girl. You know, I'll never forget her. So, okay, in closing, I want to know if you could say something to somebody that just lost somebody, for example, another widow, like say somebody was newly widowed. Is there any like advice you would give?
Yes. Please don't be fooled by how I sound and look right now. I'm devastated. I'm beyond devastated. And every day is a day that as a widow, you have to wake up and find the reason to continue, not even being suicidal. It's not even a suicidal. It's just, how can I move forward? So to a fresh widow, oh God, the first few months are so brutal. It's just so much hurt. Just the first few months in, I would say, just really try to be kind to yourself. I know that sucks to hear because it's such a small thing to say, but I was so brutal to myself in the beginning, especially the first 3 months. And I put myself through a lot of hurt. I said horrible things to myself. Like you're an idiot for not saying I'm going to divorce you if you don't go to the doctor, for not forcing him to do things that he didn't want to do. I was so hurtful to myself that I think if I was better to myself, it would have been easier in the beginning.
I love that.
I would just say you have to be gentle to yourself. Mm. When the walls are closing in on you and I know what they're going through, I close my eyes and I think of a new widow and I know exactly what they're going through. The walls have caved in. It's like, you just gotta take it 1 minute at a time sometimes. You just gotta be so gentle with yourself. Just in those moments, just breathe and try to be so gentle to yourself. It's all I can say.
I love what you said about the honesty of what you look like and like, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Because there's a lot of people walking around in tremendous amounts of pain that could be, especially if you're somebody that likes you or I like to hide behind humor, right? So you might be joking or kidding. And it's okay, by the way, to laugh. You know, you said something in the beginning that struck me that was like, you almost feel like guilty if you're like telling a story and you're like laughing and you're like, well, I shouldn't be laughing right now because so-and-so, I just lost this person. Am I a horrible person? That's okay. That's like what you said, like put one sock on at a time. And if you walk around your house in one sock and a barefoot, that's okay too.
Perfect. Yeah, it's perfect.
Perfect. It's perfectly imperfect. And at some point in my life or in the day today, I'm going to come up with a new word besides selfish because I hate that I use selfish in the beginning of the podcast. And I might be.
And you have to share.
I'm going to be messaging you because this will take over my brain for probably a good portion of the day because I don't like the word selfish. But I can't think of one because it's not selfish. It's self-preservation is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Kristen.
Absolutely.
I can't even thank you enough. Like that you make my life. Like you really make my life by the fact that you reached out to me and you said, can I share my story? And to all my listeners that reach out to me, I cannot thank you enough, because this is why I do this. So I adore you. You freaking have a friend right now in me forever. And I'm here for you, and I love what you're doing, and you keep going, and you keep doing your stand up, and you keep taking it day by day. And like I say in the, really quickly, share your TikTok where people can find you, because I know your people are going to want to reach out to you. So your TikTok and your Instagram.
Yes, it's TikTok and Instagram. It's Chris Kush. It's KRISCUSH for both. Mostly I post my shows on Instagram. I have a couple shows coming up here in Raleigh, and then I have a couple shows in Denver in February. So I'll be posting them.
Maybe someday you'll be in LA and we can meet in person. I would love that.
Well, that day would be very soon. My brother lives in LA. So once I get the strength to do that much more traveling.
Okay, we're meeting someday. I want you to know that. Okay, everyone. Well, please follow Kristen and just know, like, I don't know what else to say except for the fact that I'm so grateful that she shared her story, and I'm grateful to be able to do what I do. So thank you. And thank you to Sal and M. I love Sal and M. So the Good Morning podcast. They're two fabulous Australians. So highly recommend their podcast. Ooh. And they have a book coming out as well. Yes. So in closing, be happy by making other people happy. Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.